It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back, quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, back from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. We are still talking Penn State football and the blue-white game. We kind of left off with the offensive line. We talked about the quarterbacks and the running backs. There's still plenty more to get to, but I did think, Greg, that one of the big stories of the game and the coolest moments of the game was Matt Millen coming back.
Yes.
His return to the broadcast booth. They introduced him. He got a lot of love from the Penn State fans, as he should. But what did you think about that that moment?
Yeah, it was really neat. The whole day for him, I think, was really cool. And the fact that he was, you know, it almost feels it doesn't feel real, really, to think this guy had a heart transplant on December 25th, 2018, and now he's back in the booth at Penn State in the middle of April. But I think it's a testament to just the way he is. And, you know, when he's ready to attack something, just like when he was a football player, he attacks it and finds a way to get it done. And in this case, his recovery is obviously going very, very well. You know, I think it was good for not just Penn State fans, but college football followers across the country to see him back in the booth. And we'll see him a lot more as the, you know, fall inches closer.
Yeah, it was good to see it. And certainly, if I go through that type of adversity myself in the coming years, I hope that I can come back. I don't think I'll ever be greeted like that by anyone. My own family wouldn't even give me a round of applause. Like, okay, I guess he's back now. But I hope that I can approach it with that kind of mindset and attitude and the toughness and all that. It was also good to see Matt watching the NCAA Wrestling Championships, yeah. And he was raving about the sport of wrestling, which I guess makes sense.
If right.
You know, as a defensive lineman, that's what you're doing is wrestling,
right.
Essentially. So, but that was good to see him there. So back onto the field. You mentioned it earlier about not getting too concerned about it, but you have to – the wide receivers were an area of focus, I suspect, for a lot of fans just to see what they look like, what might have changed. It's early in Jared Parker's tenure, but what might have changed? What does Justin Shorter look like? And I felt like just as a whole – Maybe this game wasn't built for wide receivers to thrive, but you know, you just didn't see, there weren't a lot of wide open throws.
Right.
For those first team guys, there weren't a lot of big catches. There were some drops. How do you put all that into perspective and either minimize that or throw up a red flag about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think we might be the only two people on earth who rewatched the blue-white game. I could be wrong, but one of the things that struck me going back and catching some of the game again was just that some of the drops that looked like they were drops in real time were actually bad throws. And I think that maybe the receiver group received a little bit too much flack on Saturday for those drops, but let's be honest, it was disappointing, I think, for those things to pop up. And look, the one thing we don't know is there could have been one drop between practice 1 and practice 14. But guess what? If there's 5 when everyone sees them in practice 15, suddenly it looks like it's an issue, even though maybe it's not. So I think that, you know, all the little things will eventually come together for this group. They have a long way to go before Idaho opens the 2019 season at Beaver Stadium at the end of August. So time will let all of this play out. I think Penn State will be fine when all is said and done. But it was a little bit disappointing to see some of those drops happen, especially after the way the 2018 season ended.
Are you ready to draw any other conclusions about that position group? Not just based on Saturday, but based on the spring, based on what you've seen, your Justin Shorters, KJ Hamler, Jahan Dotson. What's that mix going to be like? And I know that Saturday was not really indicative of that. We really didn't even see KJ Hamler and Jahan Dotson get involved so much.
Right.
Justin Shorter. I guess there were a couple targets thrown his way, and you know, you have some high hopes for him, but how good can this position group be?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the sky's the limit for it. I mean, I think that's always the easy thing to say coming out of spring practice is that, you know, everything is rosy and wonderful and all of that. But one thing I guess that, you know, that I would like to see more of in 2019 from this group is just separation. I mean, separation has been a problem going back to Josh Gattis. And I know Josh Gattis is viewed as Penn State's best receivers coach in the James Franklin era. And, you know, that probably is fair. But the other thing I would say is that even though Gattis was a master, struggled to get themselves open. And I think that's one thing that if Penn State's offense is going to thrive, regardless if Tommy plays. Now, of course, the flip side is that quarterbacks need to find those guys when they're open. Like when KJ Hamler streaks right down the field at Camping World Stadium, they can't miss him for a dump off to the running back for 2 yards. So it works both ways. But that's definitely one area I think this Penn State team can take the next step if it's able, especially at the receiver group, is getting open and just better technique on the route running. If you do those two things, the drops will take care of themselves.
Speaking of wide receivers, how about Dan Jacena? We knew his journey, started off of football, got a scholarship to run track, big time speed that you saw streaking down the sideline. Good throw from Will Levis. What was it, 60 yards was the final?
59
yards for that touchdown. And afterwards, James Franklin, I was wondering how preconceived it was for James Franklin to hop on the mic and say, Dan Jacena, you're on scholarship. But he did say if he scored a touchdown, he was going to take advantage of that moment.
Right.
So deep ball from Will Levis. Good speed, obviously, from Jacena. He scores a touchdown. So he's on. We know he's on scholarship now. He is, what, the third walk-on to get a scholarship?
Correct. Yep.
You know, given all the player movement, I guess we could have anticipated some of these guys getting one-off type scholarships. But so Dan Jacena, what role does he play, if any, on the team, whether that's special teams, whether that's in the wide receivers room, whatever? What do you expect to see? What does all this mean for
him? He'll make a big impact on special teams. It's absolutely nothing else. Very good gunner. Very good. Very good talent when it comes to, you know, getting open and things like that. He obviously, as James Franklin has said about 100 times this spring, went and ran track for a little bit and then, you know, decided to come back. He was on a partial track scholarship. He came back and now gets a full scholarship for football. So that was cool. But I don't know how involved he'll be in the running back rotation, but I do think – or I'm sorry, in the receiver rotation rather, but I do think you'll see him from time to time when Penn State wants to stretch the field. But the majority of his opportunity to play will come on special teams. And when it comes to the scholarship, the number of guys in the transfer portal certainly opened up some opportunity to give these guys one-year scholarships.
Yeah, and for the most part, I'm still pro impromptu scholarship announcements. I think the ability to change somebody's life and their parents' life, you know, people who are paying for school, I'm all for that. It'll be interesting to see. I think you can utilize that size speed combination somehow or another. Wouldn't expect a ton of catches or anything though this season. Segment brought to you by gopsurv.com, where they had an awesome weekend for Blue White. Still, you know, looking ahead to the regular season too. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of announcements coming up through the off season about what to do, what they present to you, all kinds of good things. The ultimate tailgate experience all through the weekend of a Penn State game day on Saturday. We got to catch up with Henry and Carla Biaggi, who won the free RV from the Keystone Sports Network there. They had an awesome time, and I definitely asked them. I think we'll have some video of that in the next few days, but I asked them if they would be back, and they said they absolutely would be. I think they had an amazing experience. Got to go for free, but I think they're in it for the long haul now. You can check out what they have to offer at gopsurv.com. Really awesome alternative to your traditional game day travels. Get to tailgate an entire weekend. What more do you have to say about that?
I don't know, but it seems like you had a good time. Everyone had a good time, so I might have to get involved in this action next time.
Just imagine if I could show up in the press box with beer breath, how good of a time I could have had.
Well, the Blue White, if you didn't do it for the Blue White game, you missed a good chance, because there's probably never going to be an opportunity to do it again.
For the Blue White game, I bled blue and white, but I did not get a chance to drink blue and light, because that would
at least not until the rewatch.
Yeah, exactly. So Jason Elway, we didn't get a chance to talk about him yet. And really, I think the whole defensive line is worth mentioning. I know you can't take away too much with those guys going against second and third teamers and walk-on types, but I really do feel like there's a chance here for this to have a young guns kind of feel,
right,
at defensive tackle, at defensive end. I know at defensive end they're loaded. They got all types of walks of life, but the one question you have is at defensive tackle in particular, what does a lack of experience mean? Does that mean that this group can't be as good as you want it to be? But really, you know, Damian Barber and Judge Culpepper and PJ Mustafa and Antonio Shelton, not exactly a young player, but a possible young starter. And then at defensive end, Jason Owe, boy, he certainly looks like the real deal.
Yes.
You saw it in brief action in his four games last year before he took a red shirt, and he was a terror off the edge. I don't know what that means as far as if you're doing it against Ohio State's tackles, but right. His size and speed are just off the charts. That is an NFL combination that I think we're going to start to see some splash plays right away to start the year.
For sure. And he was really impressive going against Anthony Wigan on Saturday. And I know that he'll face stiffer competition in season, but he's going to be a problem for offensive linemen in the Big Ten. There's just no question about it. Him and Etor Grosmato, Shaka Toney. Penn State has a really good end group. It's a little bit light at defensive tackle. I don't think there's any question about that. But you have, you know, I thought it was good to see Fred Hansard back in action. That was one thing I think that flew under the radar a little bit, was that he had that horrible foot injury, a leg injury, whatever it was, early in the 2018 season. It wasn't really clear if he'd make it back for spring practice, but he was out there running around on Saturday at Beaver Stadium. So that was a good sign. And the other guy, I think, just move over to the other side of the ball quick. The other guy that really jumped off the screen to me, Dustin, was Nick Bowers, tight end. I thought that Penn State didn't necessarily need a backup tight end or a second tight end, with Pat Freiermuth obviously being the returning star and all that, but I think it'll give Ricky Ronnie some options if he ever does want to work in two tight end sets, and it gives a chance for Freiermuth to get a break every now and again as well. So Nick Bowers has definitely progressed nicely this offseason. One tight end that people have asked questions about, John Holland. We didn't see him out there at all on Saturday. I'm not sure what his future holds for the Lions.
He was walking, like, I saw, I think it was from Mark Brennan, he was walking in street clothes with the Saquon Barkley, Trace McSorley, Zach McPherson was spotted in one of those photos. I think it was from Mark Brennan.
Yeah.
You can correct me if I'm wrong. But
I think you're right.
So it would seem to suggest that John Holland will not be playing for this team. There has not been an announcement about that. If he's just injured and he was in street clothes anyway, I don't know if that would have been something that they allow or not allow, but that anyway, that was the case for John Holland. I'm not sure if we can count on seeing him
this year. I would not count on it. At this point in time, I think it's more likely that we get an announcement before long that he is going to look to grad transfer than I think anything else. He's a fifth-year senior. He just has to graduate first. So
I know we have two segments where we're going to hear from James Franklin. I think we got to roll recruiting stuff into one of those segments now and kind of blur the lines a little bit. We didn't get a chance to talk about the two commitments. We will take a quick break. We'll look at RJ Adams and Cole Brevard and what that means for Penn State 2020 class. So stick around.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.